This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part one of a two-part series. Today, we're talking about the power of a woman's body. You know, when I think about expanding my lovemaking, I think about all kinds of things, like hot, juicy, planetary-sized orgasms, magical partners, and the abilities to access inner depths that I never knew about. I wonder what it means to be a woman, and why I need to ponder and reflect what it needs to be a woman. For me, my education was randomly given to me by people I didn't even know, starting when I was a kid. So, maybe it's time for an update. That's why I've invited onto our show someone to present some new viewpoints on women. Can both men and women use some new knowledge to expand our abilities to be richer, deeper lovers? I'd like to welcome our guest, Luminessa, to our show. Hi, Luminessa.
Hi, Patty. Thank you.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you. Let me tell our listeners a little bit about you, Luminessa. Luminessa is the founder of the School of Women's Mysteries and carries forth the lineage of the Priestess of the Flame from the Temple of Isis for the modern-day woman. She is, among many other things, a teacher of women's sexuality and spirituality, a writer for TheExaminer.com, a shamanic counselor and spiritual guide, and an ordained priestess and minister. She's based in the Bay Area of California and works with private clients in person and by phone as well. So today on the show, we'll talk about how being a woman influences our viewpoints about our bodies, our minds, our hearts and spirits, and from a very woman's mysteries point of view, a very unique, interesting, and special point of view. Luminessa, I know you've been dedicating many years of your life to bringing this work into a reality. What is it you're actually doing here with your women's school?
Well, I am actually bringing in a new paradigm for women, and amongst many different things. And the calling that I found after being given this lineage, literally given it to me almost 25 years ago, was that culturally and collectively, on a collective level right now, we as a society still look at women in a particular perspective. We still have a feeling of women as sex objects to some degree. It's not so much on an individual basis, I would be speaking, but collectively. There's a field that looks at women's bodies as some way to either sell something, promote something, sex, in other words. We're identified with sex, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a view, a perspective. So the School of Women's Mysteries is really about helping men and women to shift their perspective of how we see women, and for women to really get the power, the innate power that they hold within just because they have a woman's body. That power is innocent, and it's reclaiming of our sexual innocence. It's a reclaiming of the myth that we had given to us around Eve.
Well, I love that you're doing that, and before I tap into it a little bit more, I'd like to find out what was your personal motivation that had you so called to do this work?
Basically, 25 years ago, I actually had a mystical experience, and I actually had an Egyptian priestess called Anjara, and I took my last name from that. Priestess of the Flame come through to me, and I did this with another person as well who was witness to this, and gave me a lineage for women that I didn't know what I was saying yes to at the time, but I know when I said yes to it, I was ecstatic. That's what I knew. And as years evolved, it became clearer to me within the last 2 years that this was strictly about women and their bodies, that my mystery, it's called the mystery of being a woman. What is that mystery that, as I once written, what is the mystery that men are so attracted to, the mystique, you know, the feminine mystique. What is that? And I began to ponder, what does that mean to be a woman in a body that is so beautiful innately? We are the most, if you would like to look at it from that point, the most worshipped. If you look at art, what is the most beautiful thing, and most beautiful thing an artist often wishes to paint? A nude woman.
I'm just so glad you brought that, because I was just going to say, that was my next question. Why is this the woman's mystery school? Because I think that's exactly what everyone wants to find out, is to find out about women. But please continue.
Yes, exactly. So what is it that makes a woman's body so beautiful? And it's just the innate gifts that God, goddess, whoever we would like to call in, we were given this enormous beauty in the physical form, and we were given the power to create through giving childbirth. And as you know very well, because I know you're very well versed in these things, that over, well, I think for 25,000 to 50,000 years, the goddess was definitely worshipped in our time, and it was worshipped as the divine mother, the creatrix of all life. It was the feminine that people gave power to. It was that initially the understanding that it was through the feminine that all life was given, and women were the representatives of that in the physical form. So initially it came from those bases way back, and as life changed and as things changed, and what eventually happened was, because women's biology was really the reason that there was a shift so drastically, was that when women were able to have menstruation and bleed, and in that they were able to begin to choose their sexual partners. They were beginning to see that they had choice over sexuality, whereas, of course, no animals have estrus. And there's no choice. They just have it every year. A couple of times a year, they go into heat. Women were different. Our biology really dictated to us in many ways our sexuality. It dictated to us in many ways our relationship with men, because at that point, we had choice. And in there was many, many theories about what happened between men and women. But basically speaking, after doing many, many hours of research, I have really come to understand that one of the key issues for women was the fact that we were able to have babies and give birth and then bleed, and men weren't. And there was absolutely, in a way, more of a womb envy around that than there was the old-fashioned belief from Freud, which was the penis envy.
So why then is it the situation that women are in such, they don't see their own beauty, I would say, so often, that women have so many body issues?
I believe in this life, especially in these times, and maybe for many thousands of years, but mostly a lot I see in our own culture, the sort of the exploitation and the sort of looking at women are not 100% looked at from a point of view of beautiful just because they're beautiful. Like there's a lack of innocence around their beauty and a lack of understanding of appreciation of our own physical bodies the way they are. In other words, when we existed at the times when the goddess was worshipped and there were priestesses and there were these teachings that existed, I know for certainty that women and men lived in a more harmonious level together, and that sex was a holy sacred thing, and that it was part of it was part of nature, part of life. It wasn't profane. Sex was sacred. It was considered sacred in these times, and that is in part why women were considered sacred themselves, because they were the ones who actually gave the gift of sex, right? They were the ones who were able to give that to men. There was a sort of a tie-up, I believe, between how women looked at themselves and what was actually happening in their lives. And today, we know that even though there have been many strides for women in many areas and many arenas, there is still that whole belief that women have to look a certain way to please men or to be accepted. There's a whole sort of thing around the erotic innocence and the profanity of sexuality. And it's kind of enmeshed and all tied up. It's something we've lived with for generations after generations of generations. And I believe that the time has come for women to really own back their yoni power. Really, it's the power of the yoni, and I use that word meaning sacred space, or the tantric version, Sanskrit word yoni meaning sacred space, because for me, that word really denotes what we're calling back is the innocence of being in a woman's body and having a yoni, not apologizing anymore for having a yoni.
Right, now yoni is a vagina. That's the Sanskrit word for vagina.
Yes.
Right, well, I want to get into that. So we do have to take a break. And so it's a very nice, alluring topic to come back to. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. I'm here with Luminessa. And you can learn more about Luminessa at her website, womensmysteries.org, womensmysteries.org. And we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking about the power of a woman's body. And why don't we just continue on about the power of the yoni or vagina here?
One of the things that I found was really significant for women in my work with women was that a lot of women didn't really relate to their yoni in a very positive way. A lot of women have had stigmas about their bodies, their breasts, and because they've looked at themselves as a sexual being, and sometimes through the lens of how men see them or how society sees them, how Madison Avenue sees them and portrays them, their view of their own body and their yoni has been skewed somewhat. I myself had that experience where for many years, when we were told to look at our yonis through a mirror in way back in the 70s when the women's lib movement was really predominant, and I did women's sociology classes and we did all these radical things, I looked at my yoni and went, ooh, ugly. It wasn't exactly what I liked. In fact, it was a bad taste in my mouth. It was something horrible for me to look at. Many years later, after doing some work with a wonderful teacher of mine, Annie Sprinkle and Jawala, who both brought a wonderful course called Sluts and Goddesses, I had an opportunity to actually look at my yoni from a different perspective and to heal the part in myself that really was distasteful, that didn't want to look at my vagina, didn't want to look at that. And within months from doing that workshop, I found that my hand was in some other woman's yoni. And I was looking at her as a client, and she was an ex-nun of all people. And here my hand was looking at her yoni. I was doing yoni. I was doing healing on her yoni. I was doing what they call sacred spot work. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, this was just like less than a year ago. I couldn't even look at my own yoni, more or less somebody else's yoni, you know. Transformation came where I began to see the beauty of my own genitalia and the power of my yoni. Women's innate feminine power is within their womb. It's within their yoni, their vagina. That is the source. That's the most ancient symbol we have of the feminine on the planet.
Okay, so if I'm just thinking about my average, not average, because there's no average listener on this show. We're all spectacular. But if one of my spectacular listeners, female, or wanted to, let's say, have an even greater appreciation for her yoni, could you walk her through some things that she could do?
Well, one of the things she can do first is to prepare for herself an evening where she can have a date with herself. And having a date with herself would mean that she would really make this special and treat herself that she was a guest in her own house. So she could actually goddess herself up, and first she could take a bath and really, really prepare a sacred space for herself that she has a good quality of time where she creates candlelight, she picks beautiful music, she might have essential oils, she might make her bath really floating with lilies in it or roses in it, something so very luxurious, something she would never consider doing. And in that bathtub, she might take some time before she steps into the bath to look at herself in the mirror, and without the eyes of any kind of judgment, just to look at herself and begin to appreciate her body. And then as she goes and does that and steps into the bathtub, I would suggest she takes time to really begin to relax deeply and to breathe and to gently, very gently, just begin to touch her body slowly, to begin to feel sensual with her own body and to let the water play on her body and gradually get down to all of her body so she can touch her breasts, her arms, her neck, her face, kind of like caressing her own body while she's doing this and breathing deeply. And then she might go into actually going over to her own her yoni, her genitals, begin to stroke herself. She might even want to pleasure herself a little bit while she's in the tub, just to arouse some sexual energy and begin to really breathe from within herself, breathing that energy up, taking deep breaths and exhaling through her mouth, making sounds or noises. And what this really does is helps a woman to connect back with her yoni again. She might even want to, as she's doing this, see what comes up as she begins to breathe. It's like breathing in through her mouth and out through her mouth. So she'll take a deep breath in and then breathe out and continue this just for as long as she feels comfortable for it, and allow to see just what comes up for her in a connection as she starts to touch herself and play with her yoni and just sort of give herself pleasure. What I find when women do this, when I have done this, is that often emotions can start coming up just by touching ourselves. Just by feeling that energy in our bodies, things may come up that will help her to get more connected with what her yoni is wanting and what she's missing or needing.
Okay, now she may have come out of the bathtub at this point, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. And so she's breathing and she's touching herself. Now, I want to just say that a lot of women touch themselves and they get goal-oriented. And so could you talk about should they, you know, not be goal-oriented, or, you know, how important is that to let go of goals?
Well, being a teacher of Tantra and a student of Tantra, what I have learned for myself is that when we approach sex on any level, whether it's self-pleasuring ourselves or with our partner, and we do this with any kind of a goal orientation, it usually will limit our pleasure. Ultimately, we might have a goal that we have to have that orgasm, but for me, what I've experienced and with clients I work with is that actually it is more limiting to do it from that context. So I would suggest that women really just be in the moment with their own experience, to be in the moment, to get out of the head and to drop out of all thought and to be very tuned into their breath, which will keep them in their bodies. And if they say attention to touching themselves and feeling the feelings that they feel as they move across their bodies with their hands, that'll keep them grounded and in their bodies, as opposed to going into their head and having a goal about having to have an orgasm. I believe that it's like letting go of that. I used to have, many years ago, I was very goal-oriented, extremely goal-oriented about having an orgasm when I was with a lover, with myself. And it took some practice for me to really let go and to realize that, you know, it's okay if I have that orgasmic release, and it's okay if I don't have that orgasmic release, that whatever comes up is good, and I can handle it, and I can have just the energy in my body and feel the turn-on in my body and feel comfortable with the turn-on, or I can bring it to a climax and have an amazing climax. So it's more about that, just being present and grounded and getting out of our heads.
Well, I love what you're saying about being out of your head, because I think that's what gets us into so much trouble, is that whole, you know, all the judgments and things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I didn't start masturbating until I was 36 years old, believe it or not. And the first time, it was a homework assignment for a class in sexuality. And I had boyfriends and this and that, and I don't know why I didn't. I actually went into my room and for this assignment, and I locked the door, and then I double-locked the door, and then I put a chair up against the door so no one would, like, break in. And then I went under the covers, and then I turned out the light so no one could see me. And then I got under the covers, and I was shivering in fear that someone would see me. And then I was terrified after that I wouldn't do it right. You know, I finally had a good time, but as I started, I thought, what am I so afraid of? Because I thought I was somewhat of a liberated person, you know, and I thought, God, I have a lot of conditioning here that I don't even realize, and it's all in my head. And so, you know, I'm just sharing that story that there's a lot in our heads that we don't even realize. And what you're saying about the breathing and, you know, not getting trapped in the head, who knows what's up there that, we, you know, what you're teaching in your school, you know.
Yes, exactly. That's an amazing story. And what I want to say for me and what the school's about is a reconnection with women in terms of their whole body, but their yoni specifically. It's a yoni empowerment. I like to call it yoni empowerment. And I offer this wonderful opportunity for women to do a yoni empowerment puja or a ceremony where they really get to experience a reconnecting with that part of their bodies. And they can do it also internally by just going in and dropping your attention and your awareness. You can do this on your own by dropping your attention into your womb area, down to your yoni, and just breathing down all the way into the belly area, and then just going in there and going, okay, what does my yoni have to say to me today? It's called yoni speak.
Okay, so I want to get more into that. We want to take another break. So this is Dr. Patty Taylor. I'm here with Luminessa. And you can find out more about her at her website, womensmysteries.org. And she also writes a wonderful blog, too, which I believe you can get to from a link on womensmysteries.org. And actually, she writes a fabulous column at theexaminer.com, which I love reading. So there's great stuff at her website, womensmysteries.org. Please stay with us.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'd like to hear more about your yoni empowerment practice. So maybe just give us an example of how you would use this.
Well, the yoni empowerment puja is a 1 or 2 day experience, but as I was saying, for yoni speak...
Oh, yoni speak, I'm sorry.
Yoni speak actually is something that every woman can do on their own if they choose to. And in fact, not only can you do it on your own, but you can create your own group. Just partly what I like to do on my website is to help women support having their own groups of sisterhood and yoni speak groups that they can do, because by this you can get together with another sister or friend or girlfriend group, and you can just sit together in a circle, create a sacred space together, or you can do it alone, and you can drop your awareness and your attention into your womb, into your vagina, into your yoni. You can sit and breathe together, and you can actually sit and hear and talk, dialogue with this part of your body.
So can you give us an example?
Well, if I were doing it right now, I would be asking her, and I love to call it a her because she is, and I just call her Yoni because I think that's a great name for her. And I just ask, like I go and I check in, I drop my awareness into that part of my body, and I just ask her how she's feeling today. And I get an intuitive answer. It's not in my head like I'm thinking it up or I'm trying to make it up. I don't try anything. I just tune in and I feel. And what I feel is that she's feeling okay, you know? She's, you know, going, I could maybe use a little attention, but, you know, I'm doing okay. So it's kind of more like a feeling and an intuition. When we access the part of our bodies that we often don't even speak to or even look at very often, and we start to give them sort of an identity of their own in a certain way, then we have a new relationship. She can become really a part of us, and we can love her. We can own her. We can appreciate her. We can praise her. And I believe that when women begin to really own that as their power, as part of their feminine power, the source of their power, and we stop apologizing, and I don't mean it so much, I do mean it individually, but I also feel that women apologize just for being women. We apologize in so many unconscious ways in our culture that we don't even think it's an apology. So this is one way that we can start to really love ourselves, love our physical body, love our yoni, and to start owning that this yoni has a relationship with us that is really unique and something that we need to pay attention to.
Well, I love what you're saying. So could you give me an example of maybe of a woman that you've worked with who's taken one of your practices and seen it transform her life in some way?
Well, what I can say in terms of when I work with people in, let's say, in my 1 day or 2 day workshop or event called the Yoni Empowerment Puja, what I've seen from individual women who have been there, and this is women that I personally thought were great sexually awakened women. They were tantrikas or people that studied tantra, a variety of different people, from women who had incredible sexual abuse in their childhood, ritual abuse that they had to survive from, and they've come, you know, full circle to. So that was the full range of women in this particular workshop. And one of the women that I thought for sure, you know, would be really positive and love her body, et cetera, because she's this beautiful woman. She was the one who, when we went to look at women, looked at their yonis, she thought her yoni was awful and ugly, ugly. And she could barely look at herself. And within the course of 24 hours, she walked out feeling in love with her yoni. She had a completely reversed experience, and everything shifted for her because of that. So in the power of the Yoni Empowerment Puja, one of the things that's real remarkable is that you get a lot of feedback from women, and you get to own that feedback because you see other women's yonis, you get to see your yoni. But not only that, you get to also do a whole complete altar mask art object of your yoni and go through a process where you really get to visually see her, create an altarpiece of her, bejewel her, and have an experience of really loving her in a way you never would have done before. And it's life-changing for people.
You know, I can think that that's really, really a profound thing. I remember in one of my trainings, someone said to me, lie back, because I was feeling very apologetic and embarrassed, too, about my yoni. And one of my teachers said, no, lie back and be of peace. And that really just changed my whole world. I thought, okay, what if I did that? Just lie back and be of peace. And just that one shift, it just stayed with me forever. And you know what? I think the men really appreciate that. So can we talk about the men, how it changes the men when their women undergo that kind of change?
Of course, it's a huge shift for the men, because men, what I've experienced, and I have worked with a great many men in my private practice, what they have almost always come to me for in many ways is that they want their woman to be fully sexualized. They want her to be a fully potent, orgasmic woman. They want her to be relaxed. They want her to know how much that they love them. So men get the benefit, because when a woman fully has this healthy, wonderful relationship with her body and her yoni, when she truly can walk out feeling beautiful, then the woman's more available to receive what a man has to give her. She's going to let it in. She's not going to feel apologetic anymore. She's going to be more consciously aware and really allow herself to be pleasured. She's going to say, yay, here I am, come and get it, as opposed to maybe kind of doing that, but also maybe saying, no, don't look at my yoni, or somehow, you know, you might not say it verbally, but you might feel it even though you're having your lover with you. You might not let him know fully how you're really feeling, so there's still going to be something you're holding back. So for a woman to open herself up gives her sexual power, makes her feel more beautiful, and she's going to be more receptive, more responsive, and a man's going to benefit because he's going to get to do what he wants to do, which is to give to his partner. He wants to make her happy. That's all he wants to do, is give her pleasure and make her happy. And she's going to know now what does that more, and she's going to feel more available and more responsive to him.
Yeah, I mean, if she's starting with a level of shame and embarrassment, how much fun is she going to have, and how much is she going to be able to give him? You know, well, how deep is that well?
And if she feels that she has to, you know, pretty herself, you know what I'm saying, if she feels that her yoni doesn't smell good, or there's something about her body, it's too fat, or it's not this, or it's not that, then that is something that she takes in with her, consciously or unconsciously, and her partner, her lover is going to know that and feel it, and no matter how often he tells her that he loves her body, she's not going to receive it.
Yeah, so I think you're talking about things that are very subtle on the one hand, but so profound and so earth-shakingly important on the other hand.
Exactly, and I've noticed for myself tremendous changes, And I've also noticed in women that I have worked with and with men that when a woman is responsive and she's in a positive frame of mind about her own sexuality, about her body, when she owns her innocence again and she can really say that her sexuality, she's claiming it back and it's her sexuality and she's giving this as a gift to her partner, then there's something that really transforms in their relationship, I believe. It's partly a tantric teaching or a teaching of tantra where, you know, it's that sacred honor between the masculine and the feminine. But I truly see that it's kind of reclaiming the sacred back in our sexuality and reclaiming the sacred back in our bodies.
Well, I have a lot more questions for you that that are going to get more into some of the mystery school aspect of thing, but also some questions about body type and some of the questions relating to the men and sexual liberation. So we will have you back on for part two, and we do need to bring this interview to a close. But before we do, I would like to invite you to leave us with a parting inspirational thought.
Well, the part of inspirational thought would be to, for everyone who's listening to this, basically would be to just open yourselves up more to the power and the mystery of who you really are, and for women to really take an opportunity, if you can, and to sit in front of a mirror and to just worship your own body, worship yourself, bring yourself to yourself once again, in deep love and a deep appreciation. And that's what I would have to say.
Wow. Well, totally, totally beautiful. So I love what you're saying. I will follow that advice myself. Well, thank you so much. We've been listening to Luminessa, and you can hear more about her by checking out her really great website, womensmysteries.org. She's a great writer. She writes for TheExaminer.com. She has her own blog, Yoni Speak. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful blog. And so this is a woman on the rise with a message for everyone. And we've been just been a delight having you on today. And I look forward to having you back for part two. Please email me, Patty, at patty@personallifemedia.com. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows too at personallifemedia.com. And you can visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com, where you can join my mailing list and find out about my products, services, and events. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.